Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, and we ask that you glorify your name in us. We ask that we may be open to all that you are doing through us. We ask that we may be freed of all fear and all trepidation that leads us to be unable to do your will, that we may be rooted in your confidence, in your love, that we may be more able to do your will in heroic ways as you call us to do. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, today is, of course, Tuesday of the second week of Ordinary Time. And what we're looking through here is this powerful story that comes to us of David being anointed by Samuel. Now, we know a little bit about Samuel. Samuel, of course, is the one who Hannah prayed for a son and then offered that son to God through Eli. And Eli was the high priest, and I told you about him earlier, that he was a very good man, but he had intensely evil sons. And that is Eli. His two sons were Hophni and Phinehas. So now it is many years later. Of course, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are dead. And a reading that came up yesterday that we did not see, because I was talking to you about Anthony the Abbot, or Anthony Abbott. The reading yesterday was about Saul, and what Saul had done is he had disobeyed the Lord. Now, it's important to understand that when you disobey the Lord, then you're doing my will over his. So yesterday we looked at this reading. We didn't look, it was part of the reading. If you went to Mass, you would see that Samuel disobeyed the Lord. Now, what did he do? Well, he actually took those things that belonged to the Amalekites whom he conquered, and he took them and for himself. And that was forbidden by the Lord. So he disobeyed the Lord. And because of that, what happens is that the Lord basically decides that he doesn't want him to be king anymore, which probably is not a good position. If you really angered the Lord so much, I don't want you to be king anymore. So now they have to look for another king. And this is all, by the way, behind Saul's back. This is absolutely essential, because obviously, if this was not behind Saul's back, if he was all being done right in front of Saul, then this would be such an embarrassment to Saul that he would have become more destructive than he basically tried to be. And we're going to talk about that as things go along. So behind Saul's back, you have Samuel being instructed by God to find Saul's replacement. And he goes to the land of Jesse, land being the farm in a sense. And Jesse has 12 sons, and the Lord tells Samuel whom he's going to anoint, and he has 12 sons, and they're all qualified. They're all should be the ones who'll be the next king. But in fact, what happens is instead of that, they end up going through each and every one of the sons, and the Lord tells Samuel, that's not the one, until finally they come upon David, who is the smallest, the youngest. It's like, you really want to pick this guy? And the Lord says, yep, that's the one I want. And so Samuel anoints David with the horn of the oil. So now he becomes this powerful sign of the presence of God. And now we know the story that continues. Well, obviously, Samuel is the prophet to Saul, but he has just anointed David. And now we're going to start to see this tension that's going to grow between Saul and David, which we ultimately know how it works out. David eventually becomes the king, but this does not sit well with Saul at first, and we're going to talk about that as it goes along. But notice what's at the bottom of this. It's a disobedience to the Lord. Well, why do we want to obey the Lord in the first place? And we can look upon it as this is a rule that we need to follow because God is God and we are not. But it's more than that. God is the source of all being. He is the source of all truth, because he is being. He is truth. There's a line I've used with you before where I say God is, and you're waiting for that object of the sentence right there. God is. But actually, that's the definition there. God is, because he is the source of all being. So this is who God is. So why do we listen to God? Because God is. He is the source of all being. So if we are obedient to the Lord, then we are obedient to he who is the source of all being, and we recognize that he who is wisdom is greater than our ability to obtain wisdom on our own. So that's why we obey the Lord, and that's important. But we also have to understand who the Lord is. One of the things that we as Catholics comprehend is what is known as natural law. There is a certain order to nature, and we understand God through natural law. And actually, that came before Jesus appeared on the earth. That came from Aristotle, where there are others who will say, God is God, so we can do anything he wants. So there is no defined nature aspect to nature. It can be or cannot, but God can do whatever he wants. And that can lead very clearly into the concept of a random evolution, so to speak, because it opens the door to a belief that anything is possible if we believe in a God that can do whatever he wants, and there is no order to what he does, and that if we stop believing in God, then we can believe in random evolution because there's no order to how things came into be. You see that. So we believe in this order. We believe in this wisdom. We believe in this truth. That's why we are obedient to the Lord. And when we're not obedient to the Lord, that's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation to lead us back to be obedient to the Lord. We'll talk more on the other side of the break. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight from St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts, right here on WEZE 590 AM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. We'll be right back right after this. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. And don't forget our website. You know, we're really happy that you are here. If this is your first time listening to us, or if you've been listening to us every single morning, or you listen to us every single day through the internet, we're really happy that you are here. And thank you for being here. And please let people know what you hear on this message. If it touches your heart, it'll touch theirs. And thank you very much for doing that, so we can spread our message to more and more people. And don't forget where you can find us, not only at WEZE at 590 AM, but you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check out the archives of the show. You can check out the Substack newsletter. You can send us feedback. You can also go to that Input for Homily tab, and you can send us feedback or what you think I should preach on at any particular time. You can check out our shopping tab. Don't forget, my latest book is available there. Also, some mugs there. I'm going to be talking more about the mugs as we get closer to Lent, and talk about how to spread the message of preparing ourselves for Lent that way. And you can do all those things over at CatholicAudioMedia.com. And don't forget, you can get in touch with the parish through the tab there that says Parish, or you can find us at SaintAnthonyAlston.org. So anyway, we are looking at this powerful message. So what we see in the gospel kind of leans us towards this. And you'd kind of look and see if there are almost two different messages. But the gospel talks about how Jesus is Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That comes from Mark chapter 2. Well, what does that mean? And what it is that we're called to obey the Sabbath. We're called to obey the rules of God, that may lead us to be more what we've been called to be. However, if we become slave to the rules, then we miss the whole point of the rules, and we, in fact, don't draw ourselves closer to Christ, we become slave to the rules. And that misses the point as well. So what Jesus is teaching through this message, when people will criticize Jesus for his actions, they criticize him for taking the disciples were very hungry, and so they started to pick the heads of grain, but it was on the Sabbath. And why are you doing that? You are, and essentially they would say harvesting on the Sabbath, but they're not actually harvesting for their sale of the grains. They're harvesting them so that they can eat. And he says, no, you're missing this. You're taking this law in such a way that you're making anyone to become a slave to the law, but it doesn't work that way. We're not called to be a slave to the law. The law is a tool to make us more closer to the Lord. So he's really understanding that simple rule. So if you understand the rule, you understand that, for example, the Sabbath. I'll give a good example. I do not shop on the Sabbath unless it's absolutely something you need to do. There are people that will shop, but I don't, especially as a priest. Why? Because that's the rule. No, because there's a spirit behind that rule. And the rule says, take this day as a day of rest. If you don't have to shop on this day, then take the day as a day of rest. Why would I have to shop on this day? Well, I totally ran out of food and I need something to eat, which is probably not going to happen. Well, obviously, that's a different story, but you understand that if you don't have to do it on a Sunday, which is the Christian Sabbath, then don't. Why? It's out of deepening our relationship with God. It's not out of making ourselves slave to a rule. And that's a powerful understanding we need to embrace and to come to know. The rule is there to lead us closer to Christ. The rule is there is not because we need to follow the rule in order to end up in God's graces. A good example of this is, a lot of times people didn't understand that. And they would ask the question, this is back during, of course, baby boomer back during the 60s, when people started living together. Well, why can't we live together? Well, people wouldn't understand the rule, so they would say, well, that's the rule because God says so. Why did God say so? Because it's a sin. Why is it a sin? Because God said so. And it would become the circular reasoning, and people said, well, then there is no rule. And they would stop believing it. But the real reason is, why can't people live together? It's because God is calling people to make a special sacramental commitment so that they bring the Lord into their relationship and they follow and join into the creative process of the Lord. That's a whole different reason than it's just a rule. We'll talk more tomorrow. Have yourself a blessed day.
In Cristo vivimos.